All right, well, let's turn your Bibles. We are going to go to Psalm 119, and we're going to look at verses 25 through 32. Psalm 119, verses 25 through 32. And those of you that know me well know that I love these verses. And since I only had a little bit of time, I had to go to something I loved and knew pretty well, so we'll see how it goes. This is what God's Word says. My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. When I told of my ways, you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me, and graciously teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be here this morning, gathering with all these people, brother, our family. Lord, I don't know where I would be without the body of Christ in my life. I love my blood family, but boy, do I love my church family in a very different way. And that's because we are all united because of the gospel. And so, Lord, this morning, as we are all carrying different loads, dealing with different issues, struggling with different sin, Lord, I pray that you would help us to submit ourselves under your word, and that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts in such a way to make us run the way that you have called us to run, and live the way you have called us to live, and love the way you have called us to love. Lord, we are here because of Jesus. This is why we're here. We're here because of your Son. That's our only hope. Lord, so be with us this morning as we unpack your truths. Keep me from error and help me to make much of you this morning, and may you work in our hearts and in our lives today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Somebody else going to say amen? Amen. All right. So usually we get that, but all right. Well, before I kind of dig right into this, I wanted to share a little bit. I really appreciate Warren Wiersbe and some of his commentary, and just real quick, he had 4 points when he looked at this text. He just had four. I wish I would have looked at this before I already had mine, but it was still pretty good, pretty helpful. But here he had four, and he said, in this text, it's revive me, teach me, strengthen me, and defend me. It's pretty simple, but you can see this all in here. It says, revive me. The psalmist in this text is saying, revive me, teach me, strengthen me, and defend me. And then one little quote, this is going to be short, under the teach me section, this is what Warren Wiersbe said. Too often we ask, how can I get out of this trouble? When we should be asking, what can I get out of this trouble? In times of trouble, we need God's wisdom lest we waste our suffering. The psalmist knew there were still lessons to learn in the school of life, and he did not want to miss them. He talked to the Lord about what was happening to him, and the Lord answered by giving him wisdom and strength. By faith, he expected to see God's wonders displayed in the midst of the battles. And I thought that was really good, very practical for all of us, not just because of 2020 or the COVID or anything like that. All of life throws all kinds of troubles at us, and how we respond to it is crucial. So I have 3 points that I want to make as we walk through this text, and so hopefully they'll be up here. The first thing I want us to see is that we must face the facts about the condition of our souls. We are not strong, we are weak. Let me say that last part again. You are not strong, you are weak. Me included, I'm included in that, but I just wanted to make it personal. But we really are. And if you look at this text, listen to him when he says this. He says, my soul melts away with sorrow. This state would be quickly labeled as full-blown depression by psychologists. When you read some of the things that the psalmists say, they would automatically put a label on it right away. Now, I'm not going to go too far off into the weeds here, but sometimes life is just hard. Trials and storms knock us off our square and flip our whole worlds upside down sometimes. And it's hard and it's tough. And there's reason to be sad. There's reason to be in. It's hard, especially when we're trying to deal with it and fight through it in our own strength and our own power. But the reality is this, so many times we don't want to admit that we're weak out loud. But you hear that language in this text in Psalm 119 where it says, my soul clings to the dust. You hear that? Clings to the dust. It's glued to, stuck. That has the idea of being glued to, stuck to, has an idea of desperation, hanging on for dear life. And he's clinging to the dust. What good is that going to do? Do you think he's going to find comfort there? But how many of you, how many of us, when troubles come, when trials come in life, we cling to the dust, to the world, what we have here, instead of, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we cling to the things of this world thinking we're going to find life. We're not going to find life in the dust that this world has to offer. But so many times we cling to those things. But it's a humbling fact to face, and unfortunately it does not come naturally. I mean, just think back to your days. I'm going to pick on men more here. I'll pick on ladies too, but this applies to everyone, but think back to your days as a child. Men, how easy was it to admit defeat in whether you were in wrestling, like without making an excuse, whether it be sports or whatever it was you were doing, how easy was it to admit defeat? How easy is, I mean, even still, it is very tough to admit when you've been beat, when someone was better than you, someone was more stronger than you, and they outscored you, whatever it may be. And how about when you get hurt? Like when you hurt and you say, I'm okay. Even though you got like a big old lump on the side of your head and it's sticking out like this, looking like a big old tumor, and you're like, I'm fine. I'm fine. Yeah, it doesn't really hurt that bad, right? We do that. And oftentimes there might be some people that are really tough and they can just take that kind of physical pain, but most of us are pretending. we're pretending, and our pride is what has us saying those things. But how about when you become a, this is for everyone, become a husband or a father, a mother, you know, a wife, and you have no clue what you're doing, right? There's situations that come up in your life, and you're like, what do you do with this? How am I going to, what do I do? I mean, there's not enough books out there in the world. I mean, there's all kinds of information, but sometimes you read that stuff, and you're like, yeah, that looks good on paper, but it doesn't play out in real life. But too many times, we don't want to admit that we don't know what we're doing. How about worrying about when just being liked by others and, you know, putting on a front like you don't care, like worrying about what people think about you, but you're like, I don't care. People can say what they want, but truth be told, if you're talking about it that much, you really do care. We all struggle. We're all weak. And ladies, how about being a spouse of a husband who's abusive or has some major drinking? And this could go either way. I'm not just saying husbands are the only ones that can abuse, because I know I'm married. All right. Man, that wasn't in my notes. Uh-oh. That's why we... Okay, moving on. All right. But we all have the bottom line, what I'm trying to say, let's get back on track, reel it in. We have these areas, all of us do, where we are weak. The question is will we admit it? Will we face the facts? And what are we going to do with that? Where are we going to go in our weakness? Because a lot of us run to all the wrong places. Again, the dust, we're clinging to the dust. So I have a fun little confession and then a not so fun one. Well, this one, we were living in Michigan, and Michigan's winters are pretty rough, about like Iowa's, and it was early in the morning and I was headed to my job at the Freedom House, and there was a lot of ice outside. Some people know this story all too well. It was very icy, and I was wearing my cowboy boots. I always picked the iciest day to wear my cowboy boots. I don't know if it wasn't like a conscious thing, but somehow I would always walk outside in my cowboy boots. And guys like Brett Tierhart can pull it off. He can walk in anything, but me, not so much. So here I am. I walk outside, and I get out by my car, and Carter, my son Carter, was the only one awake, and I don't know if he knew what was going to happen, or he was just happened to be looking out the window, I wiped out. My feet went out from under me, and I, boom, came down hard. It hurt. It really hurt. And I got up, though, and I was kind of looking around, making sure nobody saw me. And I went back in for something, and Carter's like, are you okay? I mean, he was seriously concerned about his dad. And he said, are you okay? I'm sure he thought it was funny. I bet he laughed. But he said that, and you know what I said? What? Like, I didn't. He goes, didn't you fell? No, I said, no, I didn't. I mean, he watched the whole thing go down. And I lied to him because... what? Pride. I didn't want, like, that was the dumbest lie I've ever, I mean, I've told a lot of, like, why? He saw it with his own eyes. And so, of course, I had to go back. I mean, I called him and, you know, told him I was stupid for just not, he was just trying to show his dad some compassion. And I wouldn't even give that to him. Jeez. Anyway, that's ridiculous. I know some of you are going, and you're an elder in this church? So, but yeah. So that's a fun one. And another tough one would have been when I lost my job out in Michigan, when things went south, without going into all the details in that ministry, and I had to come back to Iowa. I'm thankful I'm here now, but it was humbling, hard, but I was pretending that it was okay. Everybody's asking me, are you okay? And I'm like, oh yeah, God's sovereign. And I just throw that out. It's true, God is sovereign. But sometimes we use those, I'll say things like that, and I just don't want to go deeper. I didn't want to admit that I was angry, and I was sad, and I was crushed. And The wild thing is me suppressing all that and not talking about it actually led me to having a somewhat of a seizure. I'd never had a seizure in my life, and I think, I don't know, the doctors couldn't explain it, but it was pretty scary for a moment. Never had anything like that again. But I believe that it was a lot more of just me suppressing everything and having all that. I was carrying all that weight and not talking to anyone, pretending, I was pretending like everything was okay, and I was not okay. And thankfully, I had lots of brothers and sisters here, many of you, to help me walk through that after I came back to Iowa. But it was a tough one. So again, we need to stop pretending that we're okay when we're not. We're just not that tough. None of you. Me either. We're not as tough as we think we are. So where do we go with this fact that we are weak? Where do we go? And this leads me to the second point. We must turn from our way of doing things and turn toward the Lord and His way of doing things. We must move from clinging to the dust to clinging to the Word. And I got that emphasized because that's a big deal. Clinging from the dust to the Word. Don't look. We can't look within ourselves. You're not just going to dig a little bit deeper within yourself and find some strength to muster up enough strength to go on and fight. That won't last. We have to look up from our weakness, our weak, frail state, and look up to Jesus Christ. Our best efforts in our own power will fail us eventually. How many people can say that that's happened in their life? Amen, right? We could get all kinds of testimonies of that. When our power, what happens when our willpower won't? What happens when your willpower won't? What happens when, remember the story way back in the day of the little engine that could? Remember that? Some people do. The little engine that could? Well, what happens when the little engine that could can't? Because I've been there, and I'm sure some of you have, and maybe some of you are there today. There is a hope. We're getting there. We have to look up to the one who holds the whole universe together by the word of his power. That's what the writer of Hebrews says, that he holds the whole universe by the word of his power. We have to run to the cross of Jesus Christ, where Jesus bled and died for you and me. He took our place. He's made a way for us. Will we embrace the reality of Jesus Christ's finished work on the cross for ourselves? Will we? Will you? Have you? I can't answer that. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. I found it really interesting that Brother Bill was teaching in Sunday school and talking a lot about the very thing we're going to talk about, the law. And again, we can't just do away with it. That's not how it works. We can't just say, well, I'm all about Jesus. The law doesn't matter. That's not the way it works. Jesus is the one that did it for us on our behalf. We live in that, walk in that, but the law, he came to fulfill the law. He came to do what we couldn't. But here's what Romans chapter 10, verses 5 through 17 says. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring the Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? What does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your mouth that Jesus, wait, hold on, that it is the word of faith that we proclaim, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. That is a powerful, powerful piece of scripture right there. It's no one else will ever do anything like this for you. No one. Not your mom, not your dad, not your brother, not your sister, not your husband, not your wife. No one will do what Jesus Christ did for you. No one was worthy to do what Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ came down from heaven. The heaven, he created the whole world. He came to this world, this sin busted up, broken world, sin infested world, and he lived the life that none of us could live, completely sinless, and he died the death that we should have died. And he rose again on the third day, proving that he was, is, and always will be the Messiah, the only one worthy, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is the power. That's where it comes from. This is the only place we're going to find the strength that we need. Let's look at a few verses about, because we see in this text that it says, strengthen me according to your word, it says. Strengthen me according to your word. We're back in Psalm 119. The word of God has everything that we need. Do you guys believe that? Do you believe that the word of God has everything you need? Let's look at a few scriptures. Psalm 119, 105 says this, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So evidently we get a little lost sometimes. Sometimes it gets a little dark in our life and we need a lamp. We need a light. Let's look at 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. I love this scripture, by the way. Well, I love all of it, but 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So his word is sufficient. That's what that's saying. It's sufficient. It's enough for whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through. What about Hebrews 4:12? Let's look at that one. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. His word gets to all those places deep down in your heart, that you're all those crevices that you try to keep blocked off. This is the power. His word is alive. It's active. I hope that encourages you this morning, knowing that this is the God you serve if you're in Christ, if you have repented and trusted Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. As imperfect as you are, we all struggle, we're always going to be. You have these right here. The weapons are right in front of you. Let's just lay this out before I go to the last. I just want you to see this in the text. You lay out these things side by side. You have two things that says, you have two things. One that says, my soul clings to the dust. So this is what happens when I try to do it my way. This is my power. This is my strength. My soul clings to the dust. My soul melts away with sorrow. Does that sound promising to you? You're going to cling to that? Is that, I mean, really? But what does it say? Look through this. You can find it all throughout here. It says, your word. It says, like, give me life according to your word. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts. I will meditate on your wondrous works. Strengthen me according to your word. Again, put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. I set your rules before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. I will run in the way of your commandments, Lord. Look at which sounds better to you? Where are you going to go? Where should we be going? Where should we be running to? This leads me to my last point, number three. This is the fun part. The good news is God helps us. God works in this process of sanctification, of dying to self. But so number three says, we must. This is part of the Christian life. If you're a Christian, you can't get around this. I've tried a whole bunch of times. I've tried. I still try. It doesn't work. We must die to self on a daily basis and pursue Jesus with new hearts. If we've been made new, we have new hearts that have been enlarged to run in God's ways, not to cling to the dust, not to cling to your soul, cling to your own, doing it your way. Those melt away with sorrow. But it says, when we are weak, so let's get back to that. When we are weak, he is strong. That's our rock. That's the good news. We found out earlier, like, we have to face the facts that we are weak. But the good news is he is strong. And we sang about that. I wish I had the lyrics up here somewhere. I could walk over and grab them, couldn't I? Let's see. Yeah, I got to sing this. Sorry I'm knocking your stuff down, Kurt. But in this song that we sang earlier, it said, only a holy God. And there's a part in here that I was thinking about where it says, oh, this is hard to read when you don't read music. Jeez. Why can't you just give me the lyrics? My goodness. You don't want me to sing. Everybody, what is it? It says, yeah, come and behold him, the one and the only. Worship the holy God. And it talks, and it says, oh, where is that? Boy, the music, I don't know how you guys do this. Oh, my goodness. This is like Swahili. Okay. Oh, yeah. What else can make every king bow down? What else can whisper and dark? What in the world? Okay, I'm just going to give up. Just listen to the song, okay? It's really good. But what's that? What do I need? Oh, they did? They had him on there? Well, that would have been good. But she was, see, that's why you just don't get off, you don't, yeah, anyway, reel her back in. Okay, that's twice now. Gee whiz. But no, that song is so good, though, knowing that he is holy, he is awesome, we are not. We are not, and it's so great to know that he has, that's who he is. And he doesn't ever change, he doesn't ever waver, and we do. Amen? We do. All right, so how does this look, you know, this dying to self, this, how does it look, how does it play out in everyday life? We have to remember as Christians, and I know we say this a lot around here, but we have to remember that there is a cost, that we have been bought with a price. We used to be slaves to sin. We used to do things our way. Now we're slaves to righteousness. That's what we are. You don't have a choice. If you're in Christ, that is the path. You're a slave to righteousness. Now, sure, you don't always bow down to that reality, and that's when God brings the stick, because God does discipline those he loves. That's what he does. Thank God. We'd be in big trouble if he didn't, if he left us to our own devices, even as Christians. So there is a cost. We move from slaves to sin to slaves to righteousness, and that's, we do that, that we walk that out the rest of our lives. So mediocre Christianity will not do. It won't. We are not called out of darkness and rescued from the highway to hell that we were on to play church and check boxes. If the Holy Spirit is living and dwelling in you, this will not be okay with you to cut corners and play games and treat God like he's a genie in a bottle. It won't work. So the question we need to ask ourselves is, are we Christian in name only, or are we truly born again and living out what we claim to believe in our everyday lives? I can't answer that for you. And no, I can't. I don't, and you can't answer that for me, but God knows. We must pursue holiness. Pursuing holiness is not legalistic. Like, it's not. We're called to. We have forsaken sin, and we're pursuing holiness. Now, do we ace this every day? Never. None of you ace it every day. Me either. I mean, I don't know if there was a grading. If he graded, I don't know. Maybe on a good day, I'd get a B or a C. I was always, but we really should be progressing and growing and pursuing holiness and dying to these things and killing this stuff, putting things to death, not being okay with that sin that keeps rearing its ugly head in your life. We have to do something about that. We have to respond to what's already been done for us. We're not doing it to earn God's love. We're doing it because of what he's already done. We've got to remember that. We can't coast in the Christian life. So how does this look practically? Turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. How does this play out? How does it look practically in our lives? These are just a few things I want to... So John 17, 17, and then I just have a few things quickly. John 17, 17 says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." That's that sanctification, that we're being made more and more into the image of Jesus. We're dying to self, killing sin, cultivating humility. We're growing more and more, looking more and more like Jesus as we grow. So it looks like growing in the faith we profess to possess, and we can't keep it to ourselves. We can't keep it to ourselves. We can't say that we have faith and it doesn't look like anything's happening in our life. Nothing's changing. It looks like us daily putting sins to death and walking in obedience to God's word and obeying the Holy Spirit in our lives. Again, it's that killing sin when it rears its ugly head and cultivating humility. It looks like that we are learning to, like we're coming alongside other people and we're pointing them to the hope that is found in Christ. That's another way it looks. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I believe I have up here maybe. 2 Corinthians 1, did I have that one up? It's okay if I didn't. I probably didn't give it to you. Surprise, surprise. 2 Corinthians 1, looking at verses 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction, just so we can go to heaven and be comfortable. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't. It says, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Then the fourth thing is we are learning to, it looks like us learning to live our lives to the glory of God through the fulfillment of the Great Commission. We're making disciples. We're pouring into people's lives. And lastly, I thought I'd say this just for a reality check for all of us. It looks like we're still a mess in many ways. We're far from perfect, but we are growing and it's evident. It's evident. And people, ask your closest friends and brothers and just your family, ask them how they help you kind of see, you know, kind of just ask them how you're doing in your walk as a Christian. Like, do I walk it out day in and day out? Am I just preaching or am I actually walking it out? Some of us don't really want to ask that, do we? I understand, especially at home. So as we wrap up, I just want to close with a quote. And this is, I want this to land on you. I'm going to put it up here. Well, I'm not. Charles is. This is a quote from R.C. Sproul's book, The Holiness of God. And I love this, and it convicts me and challenges me, and I hope that it does you too. And this is what I'm going to close with, and this is what I want you, this is what it is. This is the call for us as Christians. The pursuit of God is not a part-time weekend exercise. If it is, chances are you will experience a part-time weekend freedom. Abiding requires a kind of staying power. The pursuit is relentless. It hungers and it thirsts. It pants as the deer after the mountain brook. It takes the kingdom by storm. The pursuit of God is a pursuit of passion. Indifference will not do. To abide in the Word is to hang on tenaciously. A weak grip will soon slip away. Discipleship requires staying power, and we sign up for the duration. We do not graduate until heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your word that cuts deep in our hearts and encourages us and strengthens us. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit gave each of us exactly, that your word penetrated places in our hearts that needed to be penetrated, that your Holy Spirit would work in our lives. And the reality is if we're not in Christ, the Holy Spirit isn't going to work in our lives. So we're missing something. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today that doesn't know that they're yours, that doesn't know where they're going when they leave this life, Lord, I pray that they would talk to someone that does know Jesus. And Lord, for those of us that are in Christ, help us to stop being distracted by all the troubles. Help us to stop clinging to the dust and the sorrows of this world and getting all caught up and bent out of shape from things that don't mean anything in light of eternity. Lord, help us not to lose sight of the thing that matters most. Help us to continue to run with enlarged hearts. Lord, help us. We want to run in the way of your commandments, but we cannot do it unless you enlarge our hearts for more of you and less of us. Lord, help us. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for this day. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.